Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Glass, and I greet you in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I began on yesterday's broadcast sharing some scriptures with you out of Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter, and I guess I'll entitle this New Life in a New Land, The Power of Choice. Let me read just a few verses, verse 10 of chapter 11. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest with thy foot as a garden of herbs, but the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even until the end of the year. Now this is important to understand what is being said in this verse, because this new land, this new way of life, this victorious, overcoming life, and of course I'm making a spiritual parallel for us as New Testament believers, it's not watered by works. As it says in that verse, in the land of Egypt thou waterest it with thy foot, but the land whither ye go to possess it drinketh the water of the rain of heaven. So there is a contrast between their own efforts in terms of watering the land, whereas in this new land, this land of inheritance, Canaan, the God himself will do the work. That watering with the foot has reference to the rather laborious process of irrigation by which the waters of the Nile were directed from place to place, or perhaps it could refer to the working of a treadmill wheel for lifting up water from the river into a cistern for the purposes of watering. At any rate, it was it was a job to keep the agricultural plants, crops, well watered. And it's a terrible test to get our inheritance refreshed while we're in the house of bondage. But praise God, we are being brought into a new land, taking off the servant-slave mentality, because in Christ, our possession is continually refreshed by the rain of His Holy Spirit from heaven. There's a real contrast here, and I want you to grab a hold of it, that it's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. We do not need self-effort, self-works, to make the things that have been freely given to us of God spring up, come alive, into existence, into that living beauty and reviving power before us and in us. But the Word says He'll come down like the rain upon the mown grass. Praise God. Aren't you glad for it? We've exhausted ourselves with our own efforts. It's hard to work in bondage, but God has called us to liberty. He has called us to experience Him working in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Verse 12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even to the end of the year. From the beginning to the end of our Christian walk, every season in our lives, He is watching carefully over us. Such a beautiful parallel, if you will. And in verse 13, we're told to hear Him. Ye shall hearken diligently. Hear, and your soul shall live. Isaiah 55:2 says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Verse 13 tells us also to love Him. Let me read that. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all of your heart, and with all of your soul. So he's not only is seeking an opened ear to hear his voice speaking to us, but he also wants an opened heart. Just as his love for us gives us entrance into his heart, so our love to him gives him an entrance into our hearts. Hallelujah. He said to hear him, to love him, and to serve him. To serve him with all of your heart, with all of your soul. To love him with all of your heart and your soul. That's total commitment. And if you do that, verse 14, then I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thy oil. Here, note the priorities. First, we put God first, and then the blessings come. What readily comes to mind, that scripture, seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and all these other things, Jesus said, would be added to you. That first rain refers to the rain that would come in the natural after sowing the crops, and the latter rain would occur just before harvest. So after the word has been sown in our hearts, what happened? Well, we experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. He came to indwell us, that first rain. But God is preparing you and I. He's preparing his body, his church, for this latter rain outpouring. And this will come just before the great harvest at the end of the age. And the world hasn't seen anything yet from the church. He's preparing us. He's getting us ready. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Let me share with you a few verses found in the book of Joel. This is Joel 2, verse 23. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. And you shall eat and be plenty. Eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you. My people shall never be ashamed, and you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Praise God. Hallelujah. As we look, I want to go back now to Deuteronomy. And I'm going to start reading at verse 22. This is chapter 11, the Lord speaking. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river, the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he has said unto you. And then in verse 26, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing, if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse, if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods, which ye have not known. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord your God hath brought you into the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim, and the curse upon Mount Ebal. And are they not on the other side Jordan, by the way where the sun goeth down in the land of the Canaanites, which dwell on the champaign over against Gilgal, beside the plains of Moreh? For ye shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you, and ye shall possess it and dwell therein, and ye shall observe to do all the statutes and judgments which I set before you this day. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, the Lord was very clear that there would be great blessings with obedience and hearkening to his voice, and curses, very unpleasant things happening if they turned aside and worshiped other gods. So what is the Lord saying in these verses to us? He is speaking to our hearts, just as he was to his people Israel, to live a consecrated life to him. That first concept is that you shall diligently keep all his commandments, shall love the Lord your God, you shall walk in his ways and cleave to him. This consecrated life is one that is just filled up and daily being consumed with a zeal for the Lord. And yet it's also being replenished daily by the indwelling Spirit, which sets us aflame with his presence and with his glory. This is a holy fire of the heart, a holy fire burning on the altar of our heart that is never to go out. Remember the illustration, the symbol of the in the tabernacle, the lampstand? It was always to be remain lit by the priest. So we are to have that holy fire burning within us. When we walk in this new land, we'll have an adventurous faith. God said, every place where the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. And when we come against impossibilities, our faith can laugh at those impossibilities, because if God be for us, who can be against us? Faith says it can be done. Every promise claimed in active faith is a promise possessed. Every promise of God is as even an open door into the superabundant, supernatural fullness of God's covenant promises. As great as our need is, God's supply is there. Verse 23 says, then the Lord will drive out all these nations from before thee. Verse 25, then shall no man be able to stand before thee. Praise God. A new life in a new land. God has so much for us, a land flowing with milk and honey, but we must put him first. Our priorities must be right. We must love him and serve him with all of our heart and have no idols before us. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, I need to bring this broadcast to a close, and I pray that you'll be able to be with us tomorrow at this same time. In a few moments, the announcer is going to give you our mailing address, and I just want to encourage you, if you have loved ones that are not serving the Lord, or if you've been going through a difficult time, it could be physical illness or stress on the job or financial difficulties, allow me the privilege of praying for you. The announcer will give you our mailing address. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh.